The whip was hanging on a nail by the door, ready to hand against the arrival of reporters. In a frenzy, the savage ran back to the house, seized it, whirled it. The knotted cords bit into his flesh. "Strumpet! Strumpet!" he shouted at every blow, as though it were Lenina. And how frantically, without knowing it, he wished it were. White, warm, scented, infamous Lenina that he was flogging thus. "Strumpet!" And then, in a voice of despair, "Oh, Linda, forgive me! Forgive me, God! I'm bad! I'm wicked! I'm... No, no, you strumpet! You strumpet!" From his carefully constructed hide in the wood, 300 meters away, Darwin Bonaparte, the Feely Corporation's most expert big-game photographer, had watched the whole proceedings. Patience and skill had been rewarded. He had spent 3 days sitting inside the bole of an artificial oak tree, 3 nights crawling on his belly through the heather, hiding microphones in gorse bushes, burying wires in the soft grey sand. 72 hours of profound discomfort, but now the great moment had come. The greatest, Darwin Bonaparte had time to reflect as he moved among his instruments, the greatest since his taking of the famous, all-howling, stereoscopic Feely of the gorilla's wedding. "Splendid," he said to himself, as the savage started his astonishing performance. "Splendid." He kept his telescopic cameras carefully aimed, glued to their moving objective, clapped on a higher power to get a close-up of the frantic and distorted face. "Admirable." Switched over for half a minute to slow motion, an exquisitely comical effect, he promised himself. Listened in, meanwhile, to the blows, the groans, the wild and raving words that were being recorded on the soundtrack at the edge of the film. Tried the effect of a little amplification. Yes, that was decidedly better. Was delighted to hear, in a momentary lull, the shrill singing of a lark. Wished the savage would turn round, so that he could get a good close-up of the blood on his back. And almost instantly, what astonishing luck! The accommodating fellow did turn round, and he was able to take a perfect close-up. "Well, that was grand," he said to himself when it was all over. "Really grand." He mopped his face. When they had put in the Feely effects at the studio, it would be a wonderful film. Almost as good, thought Darwin Bonaparte, as the sperm whale's love life. And that, by Ford, was saying a good deal. 12 days later, the Savage of Surrey had been released and could be seen, heard, and felt in every first-class Feely palace in Western Europe. The effect of Darwin Bonaparte's film was immediate and enormous. On the afternoon which followed the evening of its release, John's rustic solitude was suddenly broken by the arrival overhead of a great swarm of helicopters. He was digging in his garden, digging too in his own mind, laboriously turning up the substance of his thought, death. And he drove in his spade once, and again, and yet again. "And all our yesterdays have lighted fools the way to dusty death." A convincing thunder rumbled through the words. He lifted another spadeful of earth. Why had Linda died? Why had she been allowed to become gradually less than human, and at last... He shuddered. A good kissing carrion. He planted his foot on his spade and stamped it fiercely into the tough ground. "As flies to wanton boys are we to the gods. They kill us for their sport." Thunder again. Words that proclaim themselves true, truer somehow than truth itself. And yet that same Gloucester had called them ever gentle gods. "Besides, thy best of rest is sleep, and that thou oft provokest. Yet grossly fear'st thy death, which is no more, no more than sleep. Sleep, perchance to dream." His spade struck against a stone. He stooped to pick it up. For in that sleep of death, what dreams!